up, everybody? It's Roger and James here, from the This Kingdom podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about Marvel deleting two games from digital stores. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 have vanished from Xbox, PlayStation, and PC stores, so you can no longer buy them. And also just having a little bit of a discussion about licenses and just games that vanish and the problem with digital distribution. But first, let's focus on the details. So, the games have disappeared from the PlayStation stores and the Xbox, and it was 2 years ago, pretty much the day from when they vanished, from when they got re-released on new consoles. I wouldn't really say remastered, they just got re-released on the new consoles a few years ago. Played them through when they came out. I did play about 20 minutes of Ultimate Alliance 2 last night, make sure it was all, you know, I could still run it, so it's all still fine. I can still see it on the options in my library, but anything to do with it in terms of like purchase history, I can't seem to see it in my PlayStation list, so that's a bit funny. So this game's just vanished. Now, this happened once before with Deadpool. That one vanished, that one then came back. The only difference with Deadpool is they at least released a physical version of it as well over here. So it wasn't, but they've had that one deleted, come back. Activision's licenses with Marvel have always been a bit funny in terms of, and this is the problem with licensed games. If it's their own original games, you don't tend to get this so much. And yeah, let's just say I was a little bit like, this is the last, Marvel games are bad enough at the minute trying to get hold of them. We don't need this kind of stuff to put people off buying stuff.
Yeah, I imagine that Activision probably felt, given the trouble that EA has had over the last year with the Star Wars license, that they could probably try to negotiate slightly better terms, and Disney probably wasn't having anything of it. But like you said, this happened before with Deadpool. There's no reason to... Well, there's no reason either to believe that it will or it won't return, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2. Honestly, though, as you alluded to earlier, these weren't really remasters. These were just kind of reports, and my opinion on these reports is very well known. Frankly, they should have been pulled from the stores 2 days after they were released in the condition that they were in. But
yeah, they weren't so bad. I'll be on the PlayStation side. We didn't have any of the technical issues that the PC was buggy. Really,
the PC version is basically unplayable. If you're one of the lucky few who was able to get like an Xbox 360 controller working with it, then I'm sure it played fine. But there was very much a train wreck on PC. And then both on PlayStation and Xbox, multiplayer, online multiplayer, I don't think ever worked, or at least only partially worked on Ultimate Marvel Alliance 2. I didn't hear if it did with 1. And then there was also that whole thing where they weren't going to include the original DLC in the launch either, and then people complained enough that they eventually like, oh, yes, we totally meant for Cyclops and them to be in there. That was, we don't need to go into the whole saga again, but...
Yeah, it was more, for me, it's just this kind of thing of, I've seen this happen with a Transformer game recently, and it just vanished after a couple of years. Previous, like, Ninja Turtle games, The Simpsons games, and on Xbox, I brought like the arcade games of both of those ones when they got released years ago, and now you can't even download them. They don't work. They don't, you know. It's that thing of, well, if you've got them on your hard drive, but you know games machines break. And this is the issue of digital purchasing. You aren't buying them. You're leasing them. You're licensing them all the time that they've got that license, and it's that kind of thing of things like this is what makes me wary of buying digital. Because, you know, I've got Spider-Man game coming up a couple of weeks' time. The thing is with Sony games, especially it's like they happened with God of War, the digital and the physical price are so close that it's actually, well, I might as well just get the digital because it's more convenient. However, when things like this just vanish off and you can no longer buy them or download, you start questioning whether or not digital is the right thing. You know, I haven't fully gone down buying movies yet digitally because, well, at least my Blu-ray will work, but then I've still got VHSs.
Except the problem is some Blu-rays won't work without a connection, and most 4Ks won't work without an internet connection. So, I mean, even there, the physical, and a lot of not all, but a lot of video games, even nowadays on the Xbox and the PlayStation, if you have the physical version, you still need an internet connection for a lot of them. In many cases, doesn't even make sense. They're strictly single player. Why do they need an internet connection?
The worst one was the Xbox Disneyland Adventure and the Rush games that came out last year. You put them in, I had to download the entire game off. It's like, well, what am I? And then it goes, you need the disc to play. I'm like, but I had to download it to play it. It was so, yeah, it's just like one of those really weird things of, things like this is what puts me off, but then you get something like Disneyland, which put me over to digital. It's very, very odd.
And I think it's important to kind of get some terminology out there. There are two different kinds of digital content as well. Well, there's many types, but for this discussion, there's two. And there's streaming and there's local. And streaming is like Netflix or Spotify or Google Music, whatever. And that's, you don't have the media. The media is not on your computer. It's not on your phone. It's, you know, wherever you are, you're playing it. And if you don't have an internet connection, you're not going to listen to it. You're not going to watch it, and so on. Versus local media, which is, you know, if you download your MP3s, you buy them off Amazon Music and you download the MP3s, even if you don't have an internet connection, even if your Amazon account gets nuked or whatever, you have those MP3s still, and they might not be the same as having a VHS tape or a 8-track or whatever, but they're still yours. And as long as you have them backed up, as long as you have them on you know, saved in more than one location, they're still yours. But even there, it's kind of a little bit fuzzy, because if you remember, it must have been about 10 years ago now, ironically, it was 1984, the book was released on Amazon Kindle, but it turned out it was an unauthorized copy. The people who published it didn't have the license for it, and Amazon went, and any Kindle that had that 1984 copy on it, yoink, pulled it right off, just deleted it from any Kindle that was connected to the internet that had 1984 on it. And unfortunately, that's kind of the world we live in right now. And it's very much still uncharted territory how this is going to be handled in the future.
Yeah. It's very odd, because I feel as well, like with like digital games, I'm sliding more towards them. I am buying more digital, especially like the Nintendo Switch and stuff. And a lot of games are coming out. I mean, out of my Alliance 1 and 2 were only digital. You could only buy them digitally. So for that situation, you only have digital or you have to do it. But often, something like Toe Tracker or Last of Us, which I brought the new versions that got released in July, I brought them on physical because they were cheaper than I'm looking at the list of upcoming games coming up now. Assassin's Creed, there's a £10 difference between physical and digital, so I'm going to go with physical just because it's cheaper. Spider-Man doesn't have that because it's the same price. So I'm probably going to go digital because it'd be easier for me to flip it up open. I've been finding with like Battlefront and stuff like that, it's so much nice having it on the hard drive. Fire it up, I don't have to be crawling around on the floor trying to find the discs and all the rest of it. But there's this kind of thing, but it's these little things of why I am wary of digital, because things can be removed. But there again, had that game not been delisted, I might not have played that game I might never have ever played the game again, and that's the difference.
And that is the other thing to keep in mind. When we're talking about games delisting, specifically games, normally I can't think of any examples where the game isn't at least several years old by the time it's delisted. And it ends up being a situation like this where the license ran out. It's not just... You know, you're going to wake up one day and your Call of Duty or your Assassin's Creed is just gone.
Yeah.
And if it is, it's in one of those situations where that game, it'd be the first Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Those three little mini stories, China, Russia, whatever the third one was, India, I think. You know, the smaller games that might flicker over. And it aside from these licensing issues, it just doesn't happen. But...
it's usually always the licensed games of movies and stuff that seem to be the ones that struggle the most, because they have contracts and stuff, and it happens a lot. And if you're on like iOS and things like that, it happens all the time. But I think with PlayStation and Xbox and stuff, your collections, your digital collections, whatever, you don't like things like this happening because you've paid for them. You've paid your money for them. And, I mean, I was watching something yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, like digital and physical media. Music went from physical to digital years ago. And most people primarily consume music digitally. And then they went to streaming, where they never even brought the track from. But then vinyl then picked up. Vinyl picked up as a complete opposite attraction to, it's like that was such a, to me, it was always such a backwards move of going to vinyl, because I never even liked vinyl when I was a kid. It was always horrible compared to a tape or a CD. But
I can see why people they've been going back to that, because they want to hold something, they want to physically have it.
Right. It's kind of a statement rather than an actual idea, like vinyl is superior to MP3 yeah. or whatever. And I'm sure some people will make that argument because they've been making that argument for decades. But when you get down to it, no, it's just, I am rejecting the digital world. This is my vinyl. These are my DVDs. These are my physical cartridges or CD based video games. And that's fine. The option is out there. People are certainly allowed to consume media any way they want. And if they want to do it on vinyl, more power to them. I mean, that's vinyls get heavy though, man. Trying to lug those things around when you've got a whole stack of them.
I'm trying to plug them into the car through Bluetooth to play while I'm driving home. Doesn't work very well. It was just, especially when you're going over speed bumps.
Well, you'll learn how to be a DJ with the scratch tracks doing
it's
that.
It's just that kind of weird thing. It's just like, I saw this happen. I'm like, and then there was the other side of me going, there's hardly enough Marvel video games out as it is. Stop. Don't take them off PlayStation 4 and Xbox. We've already got enough.
And I figure, like I said at the beginning of this, that was probably Activision feeling like they had leverage on Disney, and Disney just being like, no, you don't. So, ultimately, for me, this isn't that big a deal. Because, again, if you bought the games, they are available. You can download them. You can play them. Whether they were playable in the first place or not is an entirely different question. But, they are still available. They're still playable. You're not losing anything as someone who already owns them, at least at this point. That might change in the future. We don't know. This is all uncharted territory, etc. And ultimately, in this day and age, media is kind of becoming disposable anyway.
Yeah.
That's not to defend the practice. It would be much better, you buy something, it's yours, period. Yeah. But again, we don't actually own most of the stuff. Heck, even if you play Destiny or World of Warcraft, you don't own that game at all. You might own like the physical box it comes in. You might own the little sleeves that the CDs came in if you've got the old enough copy. But read all that legalese. You don't own the game at all. You have no legal right to the game, just what they give you.
It's very, very strange, but kind of one of those things. I'd love to know what you guys think of games digital, and also like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games vanishing from the digital stores. Love to know your thoughts on that. Remember to go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. Like, subscribe, follow, etc. Right, James, where can they find you?
Find me, HeroicLegacy.com.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Later.